I'm going to talk a little bit as a continuation from what we did a couple of weeks ago while we shared the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And my spirit has been dwelling on this chapter for some weeks, and especially on the first few verses, which I feel that we need to unpack further. I remember Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 4. This is what the Apostle Paul says in writing to them. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Let me read it one more time. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I remember when I shared this 2 weeks ago, I said that this is a big ask. This is a big ask. Paul is saying here some things that most of us will find very, very challenging. And he's saying, seek the things above. And he's saying, set your minds on the things above, not on the things of this world, he's saying. It's a very big ask. And we need to look at how or where Paul is coming from when he makes this demand and when he gives this instruction. It's not something that we can kind of walk away from, justifying and excusing ourselves that this is too big an ask for us to accomplish. Because Paul is not just doing that randomly. There is a reason, there is a foundation, there are grounds that Paul is standing on before he makes this assertion, before he makes and gives this instruction. Paul is saying, if you have been raised with Christ, that is where the key is. It's not about just, you know, let's get into this place where we can kind of modify our behavior. Let's kind of gear our minds and kind of think about the things above. Let's kind of bring our heart to kind of seek those things above. Paul is saying there's something that has happened that must be taken into consideration, that we must never lose sight of before we can actually go ahead with what he asks us to do. There's something that we need to remember. There's something that we need to always and at all times keep in mind. Always and at all times. Paul did not come to this place where he is now telling the Colossian Christians, seek what is above. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on. He's not saying this randomly. He has exposed and expounded what has happened. And he is now saying here in this place, he's saying, seek the things that are above. But he is starting off with this premises that he's saying, if you have been raised with Christ, this being raised with Christ is the key to the matter. The issue is not about a mind game. He's not saying play mind games. He's saying, make sure that this has happened. Make sure that this has occurred. Make sure that this is in its place. If it is, then it is not going to be a big ask. The big ask suddenly kind of shrinks. When you realize, when you understand, when you kind of are faced with this truth that he says, you have died with Christ and your life is now hid in him with God. It's that fact, it's that truth, it's that reality that we need to grasp and keep holding on to. Other than that, otherwise it's impossible. It's impossible to keep your minds on the things above. It's impossible. And I kind of think to myself, and I've been thinking to myself as I've been looking at this and prepping for this talk to share with you, most of you here are young. And for some of you, be thinking, this is not the right period of my life to be told this thing. This is not the right season of my life to be told to set my mind on the things above, to seek the things above. This is not the right time. I'm young. I'm just starting off in life, you know. I want to kind of enjoy what this life has for me. And one of the reasons why I feel very strongly that God is even pressing this upon my heart is the fact that this is precisely the time when you should be doing that. This is precisely the time when you should be doing that. I'll read a quote from you from a book that I received on my 50th birthday. Then it's a really great book. And this is what it says. It says, in the early years, the die is cast. Okay, not later in life. In the early years, that's when the die is cast. The course charted, the path started. You decide what the evening of your life will be by the choices you make in the morning. That's why it's necessary that you need to hear this. You need to know this. You cannot walk in, you know, with the rest of your life in ignorance. That is not what God has called us to. God has not called us to, and I'm going to read another quote here. The call to follow Jesus is not a call to give our lives to the wept and dream with a little devotional add-on. It's not. And yet the Western dream is what drives us. Our culture is what drives us. The call to follow Jesus is not a call to give our lives to the Western dream with a little devotional add-on. Just as long as you add that devotion on. You pursue your Western dream. You live this life to the full. No. Jesus demanded that you give your life to him totally. That is the only way. And again, as I say this, this is like testimony to the fact that God speaks amongst us. Is like on Wednesday, as we were praying, someone was led to share a truth in their heart, which was that giving our lives to Jesus and, you know, surrendering it to him is actually a net gain. There's no loss there. There's no loss there. And very often society and self and enemy tells us that yes, when we give our lives and surrender it to Jesus, we lose out. Jesus said no. When you save your life, that's when you lose it. But when you give it to him, Jesus says that you actually, it's a net gain. It's a net gain. And some people in that meeting on Wednesday needed to hear that. Or to some persons there, it was a reinforcement of what God maybe have been saying to them. But it's so important to realize that this is the time. It says, the stand you make today will determine what kind of stand you will make tomorrow. So it's very, very important to understand that the course of life, you decide what the evening of your life will be by the choices you make in the morning. Because the decisions you make now, the decisions you make today, the course that you set for yourself, the die that you cast today is the die that you're going to actually live with for the rest of your life. So it's very important, very, very important that we understand that this is not the life that we have been called to live for only. It's very important to understand that God has not given his son Jesus Christ to die for us for this life only. It is such a corrupted gospel that says, yes, this is what you are lived, you know, God has, you know, saved you for. No. In fact, the Christians of old, you know, those people who went before us at the beginning in the book of Acts, you find Paul and Barnabas encouraging the churches as they go around and telling them that we have to enter the kingdom of God with many tribulations. And Paul again says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, if our hope is for this world only, we are of all people, he says, to be most pitied. I'm not saying that God, and when I talk of tribulation, I'm going to come to that a little later. It's not about, you know, hardship and suffering in the sense that, you know, about poverty and sickness. I'm talking about more that when we take a stand for the gospel, and we have to suffer for that. That's what scripture tells us about. And Paul is making it absolutely clear here in this place that it is the fact, the truth, the reality of our being raised with Christ, having died with him, that is is going to make it possible for us to actually seek the things above, to set our minds on the things above, to be sure that we are not overwhelmed and dominated and permeated by the culture that we live in. Very often that's the case. The culture that we live in dominates and permeates our thinking, our reasoning, how we kind of decide and make decisions. We are, you know, it rubs off on us so severely, and Paul is saying no. And the gospel hasn't transformed anybody if that person's culture hasn't changed. And the gospel hasn't transformed any society, any generation, any group, if their culture remains untouched. Culture is a very strong undercurrent that drives and decides the decisions that you make and the choices that you make in life. And Paul is saying here, set your minds on things above. I know, and I'm going to come to that, or maybe in a few weeks we may come to it. Paul is using this as an introduction to how to live, and I'm going to come to that. But Paul is saying here that we are coming in on the finished work of Christ. We're coming in on that finished work. And God is wanting us to rest in that work and live it out by setting our minds on the things above, by making sure that we are reasoning and thinking and rationalizing in our hearts and in our minds with God and with the things above. The big ask really ceases to be big and shrinks when we realize that it's a completed work. When Jesus said, you know, it is finished, John 19:13, Jesus said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That was where the work was done. That was where it was completed. The big ask was made small in that place. The big ask was no more a big ask, and it's no more and never a big ask. It's not going to be a big ask. You can do it because God has already done it for you. You just need to walk in that completed work. You just need to understand that you have died with Christ, as Paul says here, and raised with him. And he says your life is now hid with Christ in God. And he continues to say that when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. There is a huge, unrevealed, undisclosed element of the life that Christ has brought for us, friends. This is nothing. This is nothing. As our American friends say, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. This is like nothing. And Paul echoes that. And Paul echoes that by saying in Romans 8, chapter 8, and in verses 18, he says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed, that is to be revealed to us, he says. I consider, he says, that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory. There's a huge, unrevealed element of the life that God has brought for us, has accomplished on that cross for us. The life that we have been raised to, friends, is not this one that we are just living in. This is just the starting point. This is just the warm-up. This is just the place where we kind of, in a way, kind of taxiing, ready to take off. You ain't seen nothing yet, is what Paul is basically saying. We need to understand that. We need to take that into consideration. We need to have an eternal perspective for our lives here. You cannot live your life here as if there's nothing more, you know, after death or when Jesus returns. You cannot do that. And he's saying that your life, he's actually saying for him, life is defined in that which was hid in Christ. He's saying your life is hid with Christ, hidden with Christ in God. It's locked in there. It's locked in there. You can only access it when Jesus returns in its fullest form. And that's what he calls, you will also appear with him in glory when Christ, who is your life, appears. It's so important that we understand and we take into consideration the premise that Paul is starting from. It's so important that we never lose sight of the fact that Christ has purchased this life for us. That this is just the beginning, but the whole picture is yet to be revealed, is yet to be disclosed, is yet to come. There is an element, a huge element of the life that we have received in Christ that is yet unrevealed. A huge element that's unrevealed. Don't live as if that life does not exist. Don't live that as if your life here has no impact on that life that you're to live. Paul is saying, keep that in perspective. Keep that in perspective. Keep that in perspective. Don't lose sight of the fact that there is an eternity that God has purchased us for that is glorious, that is indescribable, that Paul talks about when he says in Romans chapter 8, again, he says in verses 16 and 17, Paul says this amazing truth, and he declares that we, in verse 16, he says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. Okay? He says, this is what the Spirit bears witness to, that we are children of God. And then he continues to say, he builds upon that, and he says, and if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Glorification. Heirs of God. Everything that God has is going to be ours. Everything that God has prepared for us, friends. There is a glory that is yet to come. There is a glory that is yet to be revealed. We need to keep that in perspective. We cannot invest in our lives here and be dictated by the culture that we live in, by the society that we're immersed in. We cannot do that. And Paul is saying, don't do that. Make sure that your mind is set on the things above. Seek the things above, not the things that people around you seek, not the things that people around you set their minds on, but make sure that you do that because you have died with Christ and have been raised with him. And your life now is hid with him in God, in Christ with God. It's so important that we do this. Don't get so wrapped up in this world that you have no expectations for the next one. Don't get so wrapped up in this world that there is no expectation, no kind of looking forward to the next one, the glory that is to come. We need to, and God wants us to, and God's desire and heart is for us to live with that expectation, to live with that looking forward to the glory that is going to be revealed. Paul is saying that. He's saying, set your minds on that truth, on that fact that your life is now. At this moment, you think you're living. No, you haven't seen anything, he's saying. You think you're living, but your life, he's saying, is hid in with Christ in God, is what he's saying. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Don't be so wrapped up in thinking that this is it. This is all there is to it. Let's live for this now. And when you do that, Jesus says, you lose your life. You lose your life. But Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake, he says, he finds it. He finds it. That's where you find it. You find your life where you lose it for Christ's sake, for the kingdom, for the redemption of God's creation, for the restoration of what God has lost through man's disobedience. If we live for that, we find our lives. That is what God has created us for. That is what God has called us for. As we look into this matter further on, we will discover that what we desire and what we set our minds on, our thoughts on, it becomes critical in our quest for holiness. This is for another time, but it becomes critical. Our holiness and sanctification are based on not so much what we do, but what we set our hearts and our minds on. That is why Paul is starting off this chapter with a clear call, a clear call. And nobody's accepted. If you are in Christ and you have been raised with him, have you died with him, Paul is making this instruction and request to you. You are no different from anyone else. If you are in Christ, the question, the key, the issue is and always will remain, are you in Christ? Paul did not say this just randomly. He said, if you have been raised with Christ, that is the basis, that is the ground, that is the foundation, that is where it all starts from. If you have been raised with Christ, having died with him, then this is what you ought to be doing. Then this is what you are expected to do. To seek the things above and to set your mind on the things above. You're expected to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith. You're expected to expect the glory that's going to be revealed when he returns. This is our hope. This is what we live for. Don't let us live for as if we have no hope, as if there is no future. We ain't seen nothing yet. We haven't seen anything yet. This is just a foretaste of what is to come. What God has done on the cross. Is something that can never be overstated. And that's why I believe Jesus also wants us to always remember that. That's why we take communion, the Lord's Supper. What Jesus has done on the cross, you can never overstate it. You can never exhaust it. And that's, we all come back to that truth. We all come back to that. We have died with Christ, friends. We have died with Christ. We have died with Christ and been raised with him. Now our responsibility, now our duty, now this little ask that Paul makes to us is to set our minds on the things above and seek our minds and seek the things above. Just remembering that this, the price that Christ paid on that cross was a totally new life. And not an extension of the one that we have now. It's not an extension of the existing life that we are, you know, that we had when before we came to Christ, the natural life that we were born into. Christ died to give us a totally new life. And we have died with him. Scripture says we have died with him. Hallelujah. If you have been raised with Christ is the premise that Paul starts from. If you have been raised with Christ. And as we pray, and as you kind of consider your own response to this word that I shared with you this morning, I'm going to read the first four verses of chapter 3 while you are still praying, just to remind you of what God is requesting and requiring from us this morning. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's it, guys. Seek the things. What are you doing to seek the things above? What are you doing? Verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Is your mind preoccupied? Not just kind of thinking the things on earth. Is your mind preoccupied, like dominated by the things that are on earth? You answer that question to God yourself. And as I said, it just shrinks when we think that it is because and on account of us being raised with Christ that this becomes a possibility. This becomes a duty. This becomes a responsibility. This is not something that your pastor or your cell leader can do for you. This is something that you have to do. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Friends, ask yourself, how much of your thinking is put on the things of earth? How much of your thinking is dominated, permeated by the culture and the dream that is called the Western dream? Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died. Statement, fact. You have died. If you are in Christ, you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is the fact. This is the truth. This is reality. Reality doesn't start with the physical, with what we feel, with what we sense, with what we perceive with our five senses. Reality is God. And it begins with God. And the fact is, God says here, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is the truth. That's why the ask becomes so little. You have died. You have died. Tell that to yourself. You have died. If you are in Christ, if Christ is your Savior, if you have received him as the Lord and Savior of your life, you have died, is what Paul is saying. You have died. Maybe sad news for some of you, but take it. It's good. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. There is an undisclosed, unrevealed element of your life that is yet to be disclosed. Don't live and waste your life as if all there is what you are seeing now. That all there is these how many years that God gives you on this planet. No. God is saying your life is hid with Christ in him. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's respond to God. Respond to God, friends. Make a decision. Decide to turn away from a life that's just predominantly preoccupied. Minds that are preoccupied with the things on earth only. Minds that have no space for God and the things above. Minds that don't realize that your life that you have been given, that Christ has wrought for you by his death on the cross, is hid with God, with Christ in God. It is to be revealed when Christ comes, friends. This is our hope. This is our hope. Don't live and waste your life on this earth and sacrifice it on the altar of the Western dream. Don't think, the Bible says, on the things that are above. Set your minds on the things that are above. Let those things just predominate and just preoccupy, your mind. However unreal this may seem at this time, friends, this is the truth. This is the reality that transcends all other realities. The Word of God and God himself, the truth of God, the word that comes out from his mouth is the reality that transcends all other reality. Let us make a decision now, at this stage of our lives, in the morning, in the early years, to decide to seek the things above, as Paul says, seek the things above and set our minds on the things that are above, not the things that are on earth. Just want to pray for everyone who wants to take a step in that direction. Whatever it is that you need to do in your life, you want to take a step in that right direction. You want God to help you to do that. You have made a decision to do that. To be a person who is not preoccupied and dominated by the things that are here on the earth at the expense of those things that are above. If you're a person like that, or there's anything in your life that you want to change at the moment, you want God's grace, you want God's help, and you've made a decision, you want to stick by that decision, whatever it may be. But you want to take a step in the right direction. We're going to pray together. Just right there where you are, I just want to ask you to stand up. We're going to pray together. We're just going to ask God, God, give us this grace. God, give us, enable us to see this reality that we have been raised with Christ. Raised with Christ. This is the truth, friends. Christ did not die on the cross for nothing. The scripture says that whoever is in Christ is a new creation. It's no joke. This is a new life that we have been given. You want to make a change. You want to make a step in the right direction. Just stand up and we're going to pray together. We're just going to ask God. God, give us your grace. God, give us your grace. God, help us. We're just responding to what he has been saying to us. Okay, in whatever way you want to respond, in whatever form you want to respond, you know what step you need to be taking in your life. You know what it is that you need to change in your life. But if you want to truly respond to God's call upon your life at this time, to set your mind on the things above, to seek the things above, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And we'll do this together. God is faithful. God is kind. God is loving. He wants us to respond. He wants us to gear our lives to that which he has called us for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, this morning. Lord, we want to thank you that each one of us, Lord, who have stood before you in this place this morning, each one of us, Father God, are people who want to take a step in the right direction, Lord, who want to respond to your call on our lives, Father God, to seek the things that are above, Lord, to connect with those things that you have purchased for each one of us on the cross of Calvary when Jesus said, "It is finished." Father, each one of us want to take that step, Lord, in the right direction. Whatever it is, Lord, you have heard our prayers. You know what we want. You know what we are seeking from you. Lord, give us the grace. Give us the grace, Lord. May your Spirit come alongside us, Lord, to help us, Father God, to go in that right direction, to be people who are seeking the things that are above, setting our minds on the things that are above, to ensure, Father God, that these things take priority in our lives, Father God, and that we would not be dominated, Lord, dominated by the things of this world, by the culture that we live in, by the society that we are in, Father God. Lord, we seek for your help. Seek for your help. Lord, we just ask you to help us. I'm just going to ask you to just connect with God and tell him what it is that you want his help on. Tell him what it is that you would like his grace in your life at this time. Just speak to God as I continue to pray. You just continue to speak to God yourself. Tell him what step that you want to take. Tell him what decision you want to make. But God is calling you this morning, this week, and in the past few weeks. God is calling you. Set your minds on the things above. Don't lose sight of the things above. Don't be taken over, overwhelmed, and wrapped up in this world. But let us keep our eyes on the things that are above, that matter, that truly matter, that are lasting, that are enduring, that is hid with God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you so much that you are a kind God, Lord, that you speak to us, that you lead us, that you correct us, Lord. We want to thank you because your word says that you are the God who teaches us what is for our profit, Lord, and leads us in the right way, in the way we should go. Father, I want to pray for your grace upon every person's life this morning, every person standing here, every person in this place, Lord, who has stood up before you. Father, you see them. In your presence they stand, Lord, not in mine, but in your presence they stand, Lord. And I pray that your spirit, your grace would be poured out into their lives, Lord, poured out, Lord, to change their course, Father God, to help them seek the things that are above, set their minds on the things that are above, Lord, to understand that their life, Lord God, is hid with Christ in you, Father God. Lord, I pray, pour out your spirit, pour your grace, enable them, Lord, to make that change, to make that change, and to set their path in the right way, Father God. I pray especially, Father God, for those who are struggling, Lord, struggling with the things of this world. I pray, Father God, that you would bring them and draw them to you, Lord God, as they come to near you, to you, Lord, that you would experience your power, Lord, to resist and overcome the temptations of the world. Lord, I commit every person into your hands this morning. Lord, may your grace rest upon us. Be with us. Enable us, Lord, to continue, Lord, on this path, to make sure that we make this our life journey, Father God, that we set this as the part of our lives that is unchangeable, that we will set our minds on the things above, seek the things above, where Christ is. Lord, I pray this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.